Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck On Demand. I'm John Schaefer. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6!
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Later on the show, Brooklyn band The Last Town Chorus shares its lap steel guitar and ethereal vocals in a live performance. But to begin, maybe you pounded back enough fruitcake and eggnog over the holidays to render your whole wardrobe obsolete. Now you're doing damage control, signing up at the gym or hitting the streets for an early morning jog. But if you're like many of us, you need music to help you break a sweat. Today we'll look at the effects of music on working out, we'll hear about a special device that turns your iPod into a calorie counter, and we'll take your calls. Joining us first here in our studio is Corey Seymour. He's contributing editor at Runner's World magazine. And Corey, I guess there's a kind of fundamental debate among runners over whether it's actually a good idea to run with music at all.
The debate pretty much is among the very serious, very hardcore runners who, sort of rightfully so, think that having something going on in your ears very loud distracts you from paying attention to your body, what they call biofeedback, hearing the sound of your feet hitting the ground, hearing your breath. All that's true. My only point is that music to me means a lot, an awful lot, and to run without it takes a lot away from my running experience. So it's really a trade-off. You have to give up the biofeedback to get what a lot of people get from music: inspiration, fun, pleasure, and motivation.
So the theory then, naysayers would claim that you run more effectively if you're actually listening to your body, to the rhythm of your stride, for example, and paying attention to how you're pacing yourself.
Yeah, it's a form of mindfulness, paying attention to your breath and whether are your legs getting more sore than your lungs are getting tired, and that kind of fine balance between that. Again, it's mostly among fairly elite, quite committed runners.
Okay, but for the 99% of us who are just out there hitting the pavement trying to stay in shape, music it has a pulse of its own, and if you're flagging a bit and you just happen to have the right number of beats per minute in the music, can't that kind of propel you a little bit, at least short term?
Monumentally. To me, running without music, except on occasion, is unthinkable. The way music can inspire you, motivate you, exactly the sort of thing that when you're lagging, you hit your favorite song of the moment, and you just go to another level. You find energy you didn't know you had. You get goosebumps. It's a different kind of runner's high. Some people get a natural runner's high just from running, from the endorphins that are released. Whether you do get that or not, running, in my experience, adds to it, and a lot of other people's experience. I also should add quickly that the thinking about not playing music while you run among serious or very elite athletes is changing rapidly as well. There's now very serious Olympian runners, Dan Brown, Paula Radcliffe, Lance Armstrong, not quite an Olympian, but they all run with music now. The tide is changing on this.
Okay. Back in November of 2005, we did a segment here on Soundcheck where we talked about how playing the right music before a race or, you know, some other form of, but it was around marathon time. So we were talking about how doing it before a race can actually kind of get you pumped up, and there were even studies that suggested that it could improve your performance by as much as 20% to hear the right music before you race. This was not music while you were racing, but to get yourself kind of as a warm-up. Is that something that you do?
I do that to motivate myself before I run. I even would extend that farther back for a more casual runner, someone who's not racing. There's a lot of times when I'm coming home on the subway or something and I'm thinking, I'm not going to run tonight. I'm going to sit on the couch and watch TV. I listen to the playlist that I listen to when I run, and I cannot wait to get home and run.
So it's kind of a Pavlovian thing. You're used to hearing that music while you're running.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of people, P. Diddy, when he ran the marathon, motivated himself at the starting line in Staten Island for some bizarre reason, listening to Coldplay. I don't quite understand the P. Diddy Coldplay connection, but it worked.
All right. What about the safety factor? I mean, you've got two earbuds in or some sort of, you know, earphones. It's hard to hear traffic if you're running in an isolated place. There is a safety concern.
There definitely is, and it's something that you need to pay attention to if you're running with music. First, the headphones that you wear, if you can, wear something that has a certain breathability factor to them rather than something that goes inside of your ear and blocks out sound around you. Certainly when you're starting out, before you find the right balance, listen to music a little softer than you normally would. You should hear the music, but you should also be hearing sounds of the traffic, sounds of people around you. Add in your own factor on this about what kind of neighborhood you run in, whether it's late at night or not.
Right.
But you need to pay attention to a safety factor.
You need to use some common sense, basically,
yeah,
is what it boils down to. All right. We're speaking with Corey Seymour. He is contributing editor at Runner's World magazine. So far, everything that you've said has been kind of very much on a personal basis, but you have actually, in the course of your researching this article, spoken to a number of scientists, psychologists, you know, clinicians who've actually done research on this. Is there some scientific basis for thinking that running with music is a good idea?
There have been some studies done at universities that have suggested that running with music, it's less about whether it's a good idea to motivate you or not, it's actually has been proven to make you smarter. People who were given a series of mental tasks to do, one controlled group was given the task to do in silence, the other one while they listened to music. The ones who listened
while
to music
while they were running?
Not while they were running, but while they were answering more kind of complex questions. The people who listened to music actually did better on these tests.
Uh-huh.
But
okay,
they were listening to Vivaldi, not Motorhead.
But you also spoke to a clinical psychologist who has himself run like 8 marathons and who was dead set against the idea.
He was dead set against the idea. His point was hurt a little bit by the fact that he himself listens to the Red Hot Chili Peppers when he runs on treadmills.
All right, so... But this study of people being given these kind of cognitive tests, it was this Vivaldi music, the Four Seasons,
yeah,
right? Was the music that they were actually listening to because of the rhythms.
Exactly.
All right. So is that what we're talking about at the end of the day? Are we talking about beats per minute and the same stuff that DJs are talking about when they're putting their playlists together for the clubs at night?
As far as running with music.
Yes.
I think that's too easy to put it that way. I think it's one of those strange scenarios where whatever you like in music is different from each person. Some people, when they run, they want to hear something relentless, and they want to hear Metallica, they want to hear the Ramones, they need to just get fired up. There are other people who like to listen to something much more peaceful, mm-hmm, calming, almost new agey, and everything in between.
All right. Now, you, Corey, have put together a number of different playlists, and we have linked to some of them on our website on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Let's give folks an earful of your long run mix. First of all, define a long run for us.
Depends on the person. Long run for me would probably be 8 to 12 miles.
Okay. For me, it'd be further than the corner store, but all right. So for what is the function of music during the course of a long run?
Speaking for myself, and I think for a lot of runners, a long run, you need to get into some sort of groove and some sort of regular rhythm that you basically can settle into and kind of ride that out.
And need to be able to maintain it.
I wouldn't think you'd want a lot of distractions going way up and way down as far as the tempo of the things you're listening to, but something you can lose yourself in and something that'll carry you through.
All right. Here's a little bit of music from Corey Seymour's Long Run mix, beginning with the band Air. All right, so this is Surfing on a Rocket from the band Air. Kind of good warm-up music, would
you say? Exactly. It starts slow and builds.
But now, the Icelandic rock band, or some would say post-rock band, Sigur Rós, kind of anthemic music. How does this work?
it might be a personal choice, but to me, Sigur Rós is among the most quiet, contemplative things that I listen to. And it's just the sort of state that I get in when I do a long run. It takes me to another spot way out of my head, and I'm not thinking about there's a hill in front of me, I've got another 7 miles to do. I sort of get lost in this, and I find it personally very moving.
All right. Sigur Rós is the band. And then for something completely different, Brian Eno and his ambient music classic, Music for Airports. Corey, I can't imagine running to this. What do you use this for in the context?
Quite honestly, I use this mostly for cool down. When everything's over, I can be all proud of myself and just kind of tune out. I have run into problems when listening to music that with a sort of high intensity. I generally forget to cool down when I do that. And as you can tell from a snippet that we played, it's kind of hard to keep rocking when you're listening to Music for Airports by Brian Eno.
All right. So, and this kind of easing your transition out of that headspace that you get into when you're in the zone of the long distance run and getting ready to join the real world again.
Exactly. And I've talked to a lot of runners who prefer things like this, more like this, throughout their runs, which I personally don't understand. I'm trying to get a little more into it in terms of breaking myself away from this habit of listening to 3 to 5 minute pop and rock songs, but I'm not there yet.
We are talking about how music can affect, impact the way that you work out, whether that's running or at the gym or whatever your workout is. And Corey Seymour is contributing editor at Runner's World magazine. Again, some of his playlists are linked on the soundcheck page of our website at wnyc.org. Now, a long-distance run, that you're talking about a period of time that you're going to spend between those earphones. And, you know, it's got to be all carefully thought out and stuff. What about the so-called tempo run? What is that for?
That, to me, is a shorter and faster burst run. Maybe something you do in the morning before you go to work. You want to run 3 miles, 5 miles, something like that.
So for you, again, and for someone else, the distances will change, but this is kind of an intermediate run, would you say?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. And so the purpose of the music, the purpose the music is serving here, perhaps slightly different, putting you in a slightly different space?
I think you would want to get up to cruising speed a little bit faster, spend a little less time losing yourself and sort of tripping out with the blissful tunes that you have going on, and sort of more music to get the job done, I guess.
All right. Well, and as we will hear, a strikingly different sound to this set of tunes. All right, the band Interpol and the song called Evil. That'll give you rushes, maybe not for the reason that you said with the last mix. But
it gives you rushes, and to me it belongs to a certain genre of songs that I listen to almost solely for the chorus, which we didn't hear. You sort of deal with this, the verses going along, chorus kicks in, and I get goosebumps and, you know.
All right, now The Clash, Capital Radio 1. This is, you know, pretty propellant music.
Yeah, and it's very political. There's a lot of things going on depending on how you run. Some people run to just chill out and lose themselves. Other people are fueled by, you know, anger, outrage over things. The Clash, very outspoken about a lot of things, and it, you know, can get me fired up about what I have to run, you know.
From,
basically, right in this climate, yeah.
All right, a little bit of The Clash. And also from Corey's Tempo Run mix, U2 and the song Out of Control. How's this fit in?
This has a lot to do with the beats per minute, quite frankly. I mean, again, it's another sort of political and sort of message group, but the music itself is just really fast. And it's one of those things that when I'm running and this song comes on, I will run 30% faster when the song comes on.
Just to keep up with the
rhythm. Just to kind of keep up with the rhythm of things. And whether that's a good idea or not, I mean, you need to be prepared for it. You need to be able to do that, or else just you can keep your pace and you won't be in rhythm with the song. But for me, this means sprint for a while. You know, go for it.
All right. Corey Seymour is with us. He's contributing editor of Runner's World. And still to come, we're going to find out how music giant Apple teamed up with the sports giant Nike to create a new running system. Also, we're going to open the phones and take your calls. Do you find running with music or working out with music to be helpful or the reverse? And if you do use music in your workout or on your running, what do you listen to? Any tips on how to select the best music? Our phone number is 212-264-7483. That's 212-264-7483. It'll be our first call-in of the new year. And that's coming up in just a moment. You're listening to Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and we're talking so far today about how a fist-pumping rock song can potentially enhance your jog around the park or your trip to the gym. And we've been talking so far with Corey Seymour, contributing editor at Runner's World magazine. We'll also be opening the phones momentarily. In the background, Crystal Method from a 45-minute-long runner's mix called Drive, Nike Plus, Original Run. If you use your iPod to entertain your ears while the rest of you is busy running, there is a new device jointly created by Nike and Apple, which might be the next logical step. It's the Nike Plus iPod Sport Kit, designed to help your footwear talk to your iPod. And joining us on the line to tell us about the device is Edward Haig. He is the personal technology columnist at USA Today. Edward, first of all, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Quick check. It's a bag, by the way. Just quick correction.
Okay. Thanks, Edward. So are there all kinds of complicated wires running up your leg from your sneaker to your ears to make this thing work? Tell us how it goes.
No, actually, the most complicated wire for me was the regular old earbuds, which I always have trouble keeping my ear, but that's another story. No, this is a wireless system. There's a little sensor. It's kind of about the size of a quarter that you tuck under the insole of a Nike sneaker, and there are a bunch of different footwear that work with this thing, and it wirelessly talks to a receiver that you plug onto the Nano.
And it's only the iPod Nano?
Only the iPod Nano right now, yes.
Okay. So what does the Nano then become once this receiver has been attached to it?
Well, then the Nano, in a sense, becomes a monitor as you run. So it can record the distance that you run, your pace, the time, calories burned, and it does it in real time, sort of step by step, whether you run or, in my case, power walk on a treadmill. Later on, you can sort of connect it all to a computer and compare the results against other folks at a website that Nike set up.
So you can actually see, you know, kind of compare what you did today with what you did at this time last week or last month and
exactly.
See how you've progressed.
Exactly. Set goals for yourself.
Okay. Now, you know, Corey was telling us before that, you know, one of the arguments against running with music is that you lose the kind of biofeedback, the awareness of your body, of your pacing, the rhythm of your feet pounding the pavement. Is this iPod Nano, is this device supposed to give you that kind of biofeedback? Does it keep track of pulse rate and heartbeat and things like that?
No, it doesn't do that. And, you know, I can only imagine that in future versions they may add that. But for right now, it's kind of the basics. Again, it's pace, it's distance, it's calories burned, that sort of thing. But I would think that's a natural next step. It's also, a $29 device, so adding that, I can only imagine, would drive up the cost of this thing.
Right. It's a $29 device, but you need to buy...
You need the sneakers.
Yeah, you need to buy only a certain group of sneakers made by Nike will actually accommodate the sensor.
Yes, although there are workarounds, people have tried all sorts of clever methods, you know, I think with Velcro, you could probably do a search on the internet and find a whole bunch of workarounds if you want to try it out with the sneakers that you already own.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel the sensor under your foot when you're running or walking?
No, it's sort of cleverly tucked away. You don't feel it at all. In fact, the sneakers that I wore were, I mean, this may sound like a plug for Nike, but were really, really comfortable, and I was never aware that it was there at all.
Okay. So you said you do this for power walking. You're not much of a runner.
I'm not an avid runner, and you know, full confession here.
Right, but you know, having this thing, did it get you going?
It did. I mean, I love music, so it, you know, I'm, you know, much as I appreciate the benefits of working out, you know, I need every motivation I can get. So if music distracts me, and I love music of all types, you know. That's great.
So even then, with this kind of wireless receiver getting this additional data going into the Nano is still serving its original function of giving you music.
Yes. Now, I should point out that you can get audio feedback as you're running. You know, a voice will tell you kind of where you're going. And there's another neat trick here. You know, if you're running up a particularly demanding hill or kind of nearing the finish line, you can press the center button on the Nano, and that will call up your power song. This is a song that you know, decided would be the power song ahead of time, and it kind of kicks in when you need that little bit of extra. So,
right.
You know, clever little touch there for Apple.
So when you need that little burst of adrenaline at the end,
exactly.
You hit the button, and the song that will hopefully give it to you comes on.
Exactly.
All right. All right, so this is the Nike Plus iPod Sport Kit, and Edward, it sounds like you think it's, so far, a pretty good idea.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Again, it's not that expensive. Well, it is when you factor in the sneakers, but it's kind of fun, and, you know, it did what it advertises it would do.
All right. Well, Edward, thanks very much for telling us about it. And again, give me the pronunciation. Is it Haig?
Baig. B-A-I-G.
B-A-I-G.
Baig with a B.
All right. Edward Baig is personal technology columnist at USA Today and has joined us on the phone. Corey Seymour from Runner's World Magazine still here with us in the studio. Have you tried this thing, this Nike Plus iPod?
I've had it going on since the day it came out. I think it's absolutely amazing.
All right. And you have your power song, so you can press the button and...
Every single one of my songs is a power song.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I do.
You're just pressing that button all the time.
No.
All right. We're also opening the phones, 212-264-7483, or you can probably get through a lot easier by emailing us, soundcheck@wnyc.org. We want to know, for your workout, for your run, does music help? Do you think it's a distraction that's better left elsewhere? If you do use music, what do you use? Jordan in Brooklyn emailed us to say simply, Led Zeppelin 2, the soundtrack for life.
Fine choice.
Okay. Let's see what some of our other listeners have to say. We'll begin in Riverdale. Eric, welcome to Soundcheck.
Oh, hi, John. I just started a biking program, and this happened to come about the same moment that I started getting more serious with my MP3 player. And I had this experience. I actually had it twice, cycling up some steep hills, one in Central Park and the other up here in Riverdale in Van Cortlandt Park. I'm convinced I could not have made it up either hill without Kraftwerk's Autobahn and John Coltrane's rendition of My Favorite Things. And I think what happened it was that as I was going up the hill and really feeling a lot of pain at doing that, I think what really happened is both of those tunes I was able to lose myself in and sort of forget about how much it hurt to be sprinting.
Yeah.
When I got to the top, I said to the person I was with, I said, John Coltrane got me up that hill.
Wow. John Coltrane and Kraftwerk. What an interesting combination.
Well, I'm totally down with the Kraftwerk. I've had Autobahn on my playlists for a long time now. I'm not really with you on the Coltrane, but
all right.
That's why it's a gorgeous mosaic.
Man, it's, you know, I can remember running track back in school at Van Cortlandt Park, and some of those hills are heartbreakers. And, you know, I wish I had had a little iPod and a little Kraftwerk to get me up some of those hills. Richard joins us from Morristown, New Jersey. Richard, do you use music when you're running or working out?
Well, I do, but, you know, it's interesting that you just had a caller who puts music on his head while he's cycling, and I think that's a very dangerous proposition. Cycling is inherent enough, and, you know, there was just recently an article about people about drivers when they see a helmeted bicyclist versus a non-helmeted bicyclist. And people who see a helmeted bicyclist think that those folks are better off not having a helmet on. There's been a study about that. So the whole thing about people putting music on, I think if you're out in a park, it's one thing, but running the roads and the sidewalks of an urban community, especially in northern New Jersey in the city, I think there's a real problem with that, especially for neophytes, folks that are just learning to run, learning to be aware of what's going on out there. Hmm. Music is a great thing, and I use it often. I'm a trainer. I use it with people that are more aware of what's going on. But to put music on your head while you're cycling in the streets, not a good thing.
All right. Richard, thanks very much. Corey, this goes back to what we were talking about before, obviously the safety issue. Richard raises a good point, though. If you're a neophyte, don't you really want to get used to the physical experience of the cycle or the treadmill or whatever it is before you then start pumping yourself up with music?
Certainly with a bicycle, I think it's a completely same but different issue. There's a higher speed involved, and things like reaction time are crucial and mean the difference between life and death. Less so with running, but it's again one of those things when you're starting out with this, whether it's running or running with music, you need to take it slow and you need to find the level of comfort. There are other people who would argue that any new runner, whether he or she is listening to music or not, running on sidewalks in New York City is inherently a problem.
Right. Let's go back to the calls. And Albert joins us from Queens, and more specifically from Fort Dunn Military Base in Queens. Albert, are you on active duty?
Yes, I'm active duty, and it's Fort Batten.
Fort Batten. Okay.
T-O-T-T-E-N.
Where is that?
Somewhere in Flushing, right by the Whitestone Bridge.
Okay.
The Whitestone Bridge.
All right.
Yeah.
You sound like you're not quite sure, but all right. You're sure you're on active duty, though?
I'm active duty. Yeah. Trust me on that one.
Do you run?
What was that?
Do you run?
Yes, as a matter of fact. I try to run every other day, but sometimes I have to do it 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And in between 2 miles and 4 miles, but it's more like what you would consider a military pace run. I tried to do my 2 miles in about 14, 15 minutes, and 4 miles in about 34.
And are you listening to music while you do this?
Yes, it's. I don't know if you can call it music, but we in a military basis, you can actually on PX in the PX, you can buy recordings of the U.S. Marine Corps running cadence, or the Army Ranger, or the airborne cadence, which is good for 3 or 4 miles.
So when you say for example, the Marine Corps cadence, that's like a guy barking in your ear rhythmically to keep you.
Yes. And it's actually, they recorded it with a platoon of Marines running, so you can actually hear the cadence, and you have to time it along with the people whose voices you're hearing.
Wow, Corey, have you at Runner's World come across things like this before?
I took it upon myself to go to an Army Navy store and buy one of these CDs so that I could sort of freelance, have the drill instructor barking in my ear these exact same running cadence things. I actually find it more disturbing, sir, that you're active duty and you seek this out in your downtime to have a drill instructor yelling in your ear, but it works for me again.
Well, if it works for Albert, then why not? Gets him through his 4 mile run at military clip. That's reason enough.
Going.
Reason enough to do it. Let's take one more call in Virginia. Kevin joins us. Kevin, you are a runner as well.
I am. One of the things I find is I'm a little bit older. At least I assume I am. A 45-year-old runner, and I listen to a lot of varied music, and I listen to it mostly just to get myself out of my head, to get myself away from the pain that I'm usually experiencing. And I listen to a lot of, like I said, old stuff. I listen to Billy Bragg. I'll listen to the Beatles at times, and I actually find that the shuffle button is one of the best things that I have for my run, for the fact that I don't know what's coming next, and I'm more concentrated on the music than anything else.
Uh-huh. So it's a kind of distraction, as you say.
It is a distraction. And in fact, I will say, I've been in the middle of a race when my iPod has failed, and it makes for a very, very miserable race.
Because suddenly,
fighting with the thigh, that's better.
Suddenly, those pains in the thighs hurt a lot more than they did when the music was playing. All right, Kevin, thanks very much for joining us. And once again, Corey Seymour's runners' playlists are linked on the soundcheck page of our website at wnyc.org. Corey is contributing editor at Runner's World magazine. And Corey, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks to everyone who's joined in our first phone-in of 2007. In a moment, the ethereal folk music of the Last Town Chorus from Brooklyn. They'll play live. This is Soundcheck. Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Each day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Thanks.